Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Okay. All right. Well, you see, Pastor Terry and Miss Brenda are not here this morning. She was a little sick, so he texted me and said they weren't going to be here. So continue to pray for them, if you would. And we're going to carry on, okay? All righty. So we are so grateful to be here this morning. How many are happy? All right, well, let's just pray. Father, we thank you so much this morning. And Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you are the healer, Lord. So God, we just lift up Miss Brenda, Lord, and we pray, God, that you heal her, Father. God, we pray for Pastor Terry, God, that you continue to strengthen him, Lord, and bless them, Lord. And God, we just pray for the congregation, Lord, our whole church family, Lord, that you would just continue to strengthen us and bless us and encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I want to share with you this morning some things that I've kind of been studying on true identity. True identity. You know, if there's a true identity, how many know there's a false identity? And I believe many a times we fall for the false identity more than we do the true identity. Okay? You know, our identity is not in our status, our personality, or our religion. How many know it's not, our identity is not in a religion, you know? And most people, when they think of religion, they think, well, you know, you're talking about people that are saved. How many know we're born again? Amen? We're saved people. We don't just have religion, you know? You know, I mean, you know, really, religion is man's way trying to get to God. But salvation was God's way trying to get to man. Amen? So Jesus came that we all might be saved, amen, and that's not a religion, but it is a relationship, and that's what Jesus come to do, you know, is to give us a relationship with the Father. And many a times, you know, if we look at it as a religion, it's about duties instead of relationship. It's about my performance. It's about what I'm doing. How many know it's not by works that we're saved, but it's by grace through faith, okay? Because Paul said, it's not by works, lest any man should boast. If we could work it out, how many know we'll have a right to boast about it? But we can't save ourselves. Amen? How many ever tried that before? Oh, yeah. Tried that and done that. Okay? Didn't work. All right? But our true identity is not in what we possess. You know, some people think, well, if I possess a lot, that means that I'm godly. How many know that's no indication that you're godly because you possess a lot, okay? So our true identity, when you look at it, our true identity can only be found in one person, and that's God, okay? If you would go with me to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to talk just a little bit about our true identity, okay? You know, you know that it's important to know your identity, okay? And you got to understand something, too. You know, how many know we got something that's called a Social Security number to do what? To identify who we are, okay? So that's for the earth realm, but that's not in the heavenly realm. Okay, so we have to understand, you know, my true identity is in Christ, okay? And we have to understand that because if we don't, you know, we could easily be living and being controlled by earth realms. What I mean by earth realms, by the flesh. And how many know God never intended for the flesh to be the leading factor in your life? Okay, we'll find out more about that in just a little bit here, okay? Do you have, did I tell you, Genesis 1:26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our what? and according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own what? Image. In the image of God created he what? Okay? Male and female, okay? And when you look at our culture, how many know the culture is trying to do away with what God created? Okay? And I'm not being ugly or rude, but we have to bring people to the truth, okay? And God created male and what? Female. He created them with a purpose, and you see the purpose in verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. In other words, God gave them a function. He gave them something to do, and that was what? He blessed them, and he gave them a purpose, was what? To be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth of its kind in the likeness of God. They were to produce after their kind. I mean, you know, they were created in the image of God, in his likeness. And whatever they birth would be identical the way they are. Okay? And you see this, and then when we look at it, he says, and subdue it, and to rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living what? Creature that moves on the earth. Okay? And God did this, and God gave them a function, and that function was to replenish the earth. Now, God didn't change his mind, but as we read on, you'll see what God told them. He said, now, that you're in the garden, you may eat freely of every tree of the garden. But of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt what? Thou shalt not eat, lest thou what? Die. Okay? One translation, thou will surely die. Okay? So when Adam and Eve, when God gave them the authority in the garden, and God told them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, lest you would what? Die. And that death that he was talking about at this time was not a physical death. Because if it was a physical death, Adam will have ceased, he would have ceased to what? Live. But Adam continued to live after he had partook of what? The forbidden fruit. And he died what? Spiritually. Okay? He died spiritually, but because he died spiritually, he bought also what? Physical death. Physical diseases. Okay, physical sickness, all right? And you say, well, when he did that, then the Bible said that when he partook of it, he died spiritually. Now, what you have to understand is because Adam died spiritually, how many know that he took a human race down with him? Now, everybody that's born into this earth are spiritually dead. We all died because of one man, and that was who? Adam. Okay? He brought condemnation. He brought what? Separation from God. You say, well, if they were separated from God, how did God begin to talk to them? They only respond to what God asked them. What did God ask them? He said, where art thou, Adam? Where are you at? Otherwise, what God was really saying to this, what have you done here, my friend? And when God called out to him, the first thing he said was what? I was what? Afraid. He brought fear. He brought condemnation. He brought inferiority. Why? Because when Adam died in the garden spiritually, he started living out of his soulish man, his mind, will, and emotions. So now what God has done for us is he sent someone in his place. Let's look at Romans chapter 5 for a second. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, into the world, and death through sin, and so death spreads to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For by the transgression of the one, many what? Died. Much more did the grace of God and the gift by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for on the one hand, the judgment arose from the transgression, resulting in what? Condemnation. See, when Adam partook of the forbidden fruit, he brought condemnation. Now you say, well, what does that have to do with my identity? Because sometimes we live in condemnation, but if we're in Christ, there is no condemnation. See, that's my identity in him. There is no condemnation for me. Romans 8 says, now therefore, they that are in Christ, there is no condemnation to them that are in who? My question to you, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Okay? Let's read a little further here. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgression, resulting in what? Justification. Now, some people look at that and they interpret that just as I never sinned. Right? But there's another meaning to it. It means to be declared righteous, innocent. See, my justification didn't come through me being good. My justification came through Jesus Christ. He the one that brought justification. And Romans chapter 5, it says, therefore, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has justified us. From what? Sin. He has justified us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We're no more enemies or hostility toward God. You say, what does this have to do with my identity? This is your identity. Okay? Because our identity is not found in things, but it's found in God. Okay? And then when Jesus, the Bible said, he was what? Like the one that was to come. In other words, one scripture says that Jesus, they called Jesus the what? The second Adam. Okay? You'll find that in Corinthians chapter 15, that he's the second Adam. He's the last Adam. Everything that Adam lost, Jesus came to bring back, to restore back to its originated place, okay, or his original function. See, when Adam died and the Bible said that God breathed in him and he became a living soul, I mean, you know, when Adam died, he started operating out of his soulish realm, okay? So when he died, then it also distorted his view of God. It twisted the way we look at God. It took us out of the original place of being in harmony with God and our identity in Him. It took us to a place to where it's been distorted. And a lot of people, if you're not careful, we look at things and our vision of God is distorted because we try to bring God on our level and God is not coming on our level. We have to get on His level. Amen. We're trying to make God to be something that we want Him to be, and God is trying to get us to be something that He created us to be. That's our true identity. See, we can't allow the world. This is what Paul was saying to us in Romans 12. You know, and sometimes we only go to the second verse, but let's go to the whole context of what Paul is saying. Paul said, therefore, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body. See, we want to get the spirit, but we don't want to bring the body in alignment. And Paul, first of all, he said that you present your body as a what? Living sacrifice, which is holy and well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then he goes on and say, be not conformed to this world. See, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit that God has given you, and God has put Himself on the inside of us by His Spirit. And guess what? The Bible said you've been bought with a price. You're even not your own. My true identity is in Him. And we're trying to, you know, do things that God never called us to do. See, I'm learning that I need to have faith in what He's already done for me, not trying to get a faith to get Him to do something. Amen. You got to understand that He's already done the work for us, but He's trying to get us to believe what He's done for us. See, when Jesus was in the wilderness with the devil, what was the first thing the devil did was to attack His what? Identity. No, he just tempted. No. God had just pronounced on Jesus who He was. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And immediately the Bible said the Spirit led him into the wilderness, and here come the devil, and he says, if you are the Son of God. And I just want to share this with you, my brothers and sisters. You're not a woman of God or a man of God. You are a son of God and a daughter of God. That's your identity. God never, if you read the scriptures, God never called us men of God. He called us sons. Why? Because the son is an identity with the father. Do you know under the Jewish custom that their identity don't come from the mom or the cousins, but their identity comes from their daddy? Woo, glory. Your identity is from your daddy. And science has already figured out it's not the seed of the woman, but it is the seed of the man. And Jesus said, I only do what I see my father do, and what I hear him say, that's what I do. Amen. I only say what he say, and I just move with my daddy. My identity is not in the Mitchells anymore, but my identity is in Christ. Okay, slow down. See, oftentimes we feel lost because we don't know our identity. See, you know, and I'm not trying to be super spiritual or anything, but I'm learning who I am in Christ. And it would be wrong for me to start living beneath who I understand who I am just to please you. that's what's wrong. Well, you know, what they gonna think of me? They already think bad of you. So you just might as well get on with it and be who God created you to be and let them deal with it. See, God never, he never intended for us to be governed by sin, by jealousy, by strife, by envy, by lust. He never intended for us to be governed by that, but he intended us to be governed by his Spirit. See, and when we let these things govern us, well, what are they going to think about me? Yeah, there's a respect that we do have, but there comes a time I just got to be who I am. I just got to be who he created me to be. You know, and that's not being arrogant. That's not trying to condemn others, but I'm telling you that our true identity is found in Christ, who he made you to be. Okay? But sometimes we feel the weight of our past. Okay? The devil said, if you be, Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 4 says, as Satan did with Jesus, he said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Now he knew Jesus was probably hungry because he'd been fasting. But guess what Jesus said? See, what we want to do is get smart back with the devil. But see, our words do not affect him the way God's word affects him. Because his word is active and powerful than a, what, two-edged sword. Okay? Even though the devil knew who Jesus was, is, and will be, he's still there to confront his identity. See, to really look at the full counsel of God, the enemy really didn't know who Jesus really was, according to Scripture now. Because the Bible said, had they known who he was, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, what he's saying here is Satan really was smart enough, he would have left Jesus alone. Because see, once he went ahead and got things stirred up and got people lying on him and they crucified him, guess what? He opened it up for human race to be brought back to God. But had he left Jesus alone and not let him went to the cross, how many know we wouldn't be here, amen? We would be here, but we wouldn't be in our right mind. So he's not as smart as we think he is. He's just good at what he does. He's practiced so much to where he's good at. Have you ever seen a person, they're not trying to do new things, they're just good at what they do. You know, they're just so good at what they do, it just impresses, man, how do you do that? Because they're good, they've mastered that talent or that gift to the place to where when you see it, you are amazed. Why? Because they do it so good. You know, I'm amazed when they be on the praise team and they be playing all these different instruments and I'm thinking, man, I wish I could play the piano like that. But he didn't call me to play a piano, so I get to enjoy others. Okay? All right, let me move on here, okay? So what you got to understand is that God is the master and you are his masterpiece. You are his masterpiece. I think it says in Ephesians that we are his workmanship created under what? Good works. What he's saying that you are a masterpiece on the canvas that God is perfecting, that God is resurrecting, that new person on the inside of you. Okay? And what the first thing the devil did, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread? Jesus' response to him was what? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. How many know when you get a word out of the mouth of God, it is a rhema. And what that word gives you is life. And that's why when you begin to speak what God gives you, the enemy can't stand. Listen to this. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. I mean, you know, your battle is already won if you will just submit to God. And when you submit to him, what is it saying is this, you come under the authority of God. And when the devil sees you, he don't really see you, but he see how big the God is on the inside of you and who is backing you. So he flees. He don't run as tipping away, but he runs in terror. I like to say it like this. How many of you ever seen The Lion King? And you know, the little lion slips off. The daddy done told him, now, don't you go over there where them coyotes at. You stay right over here. Don't you go over there. So he going to sneak away and get over there anyway and get in trouble. And then he go to, you know, running for his life. But then they tell his daddy, and his daddy go to rescue him. And here he is facing those facing those hyenas, and now he's biting, he's gonna bore up now, you know, and he's roaring at them, you know, and then, you know, they just looking at him laughing, then old daddy steps in, don't have to say a word, he just backs his son. And then the daddy stand there, and he ran, and he think he's doing something, and them what say, hyenas, take off, why? Because daddy done showed up. See, and that's the way it is with you and I. When we begin to submit to God and resist the devil, how many know daddy shows up? Why? Because we're submitting to him and not the lies of the enemy, but we're submitting to the truth of who we are in him. And how many know the devil have to leave? Why? Because of the God on the inside of you. Oh, that's who your identity is. He's in you. Okay. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 15. You probably know this by heart, but this is our identity. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. We're in 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Okay, thank you. Okay, so he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, how many in Christ? Come on, are you in Christ? Yes. Amen. How did you get in him? You were born again in him. Okay? You're in him. Amen. And this is your identity. You are a new species. You are a new being. See yourself as a new person. Quit looking at yourself as what you used to be. Thank God, hallelujah, that I don't have to identify with who I used to be, Mr. Brandon. Because I was a mess. I was a mess. But thank God he's made me a new man, glory to God. And I don't have to go back to that old bondage of what I was in, amen. It is not going to control me anymore. I have made up my mind that I'm going to live like God created me to live, and that is victorious, amen. I am the righteousness of God. I am justified by God. My sins have been forgiven by God, and I am a new creation. In God, Baba Shikata. Yes, I'm a new creation in him. I can no longer, now that I understand what people do or what people say, cannot stop me if I keep my mind in alignment with who I am in him. Many of times we think, well, I don't want them to think this. And you go in bondage knowing that God has something better. Knowing that he has something better. But no, I want to settle because, you know, everybody ain't acting like this. I can't help it, amen? If they're acting like Jesus, that's what I want to be. I'm a new creature. What that means to me is the old John don't exist no more. Another translation say, I am a new species. I have been regened. My last name might be Mitchell, but now I'm a Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm Christ on the inside. And what you see is what Christ is doing on the inside. And what Christ is doing on the inside of me is making me much bigger than I am on the outside of me. And it's helping me to line up with who I am in Christ. See, when you know who you are and when you know, see, when I don't have to convince Sister Naomi that she, can you really play that keyboard? Can you really play it? I don't have to convince her, amen. She knows she can play it. The proof is in the pudding. You heard her this morning playing the keyboard. Amen? And what we have to understand is this. When you know who you are, I mean, you know, it gives you a confidence. But what we got to be aware of is the lies of the enemy that will try to come back and bring us back to what we used to be. See, the enemy is always going to remind you where you came from. That is his job. He's been employed to do that. And you know what Paul calls it? Fiery darts. Fiery darts. When the enemy starts reminding you what you used to do, you need to understand this. Your past don't exist. See, you can't let your past define who you are. Because only God can define who we are because he's the one that created us. We don't take a Chevrolet and go to the BMW plant and say, would you help me to understand why my Chevrolet is not running the way it should? You better go to the Chevrolet place and get a manual and say, how did this Chevrolet run? Because the BMW going to tell you, had you the ball of BMW, you probably wouldn't be having these problems. So what we need to do is go back to the originator and find out what he says about us. Are you listening? Because what he says about us is in Psalms 38. Psalms 138, 139. Make up your mind. 139, I think it is. 139, let's look at verse 15. We'll try to. Let's look at verse 13. He said, for you formed my inner parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you. One translator says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully, what? Made. Didn't God say everything he made was what? Good. And God hadn't changed his mind about you. What he created you was good. But through the fall, Adam took us down into death. But Jesus came to what? Give us life, not only life, but it more abundantly. See, and what we have to understand, church, is this. The work has been done, but I got to come in alignment and believe what he did for me. Okay? He said, I will thank you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. You know what that word wonderful really means? Wonder worker. How many know Jesus is a wonder worker? You're looking at somebody that he's did a wonderful work on, amen? He's a wonderful worker, amen. He can take our past, amen, and turn it into something beautiful, amen. Because our past, you know, we got to understand that when I did it in the past, how many know I did it in ignorance and in darkness, but now that I'm in the light, how many know I'm seeing myself better than I was when I was in darkness? Okay? I'm wonderfully, wonderful are your works. And my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret, you skillfully wrought in me in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God? How vast is the sum of them? If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am with you. See, that's who I am. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made by him. You were created by God, and God hasn't forsaken you. Why? Because God is, he sent his son into the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever what? Believe in him shall have what? Eternal life, amen? And that eternal life is that I would know him. Knowing him. Amen. Why? Because he is eternal life. We're going to live forever. Amen. How many know we have a blessed hope? That's why we can't get so used to this world. Why? Because we got a blessed hope. Amen. That one day he's coming back and he's taking his church home and we won't have to worry about these heartaches no more. We won't have to worry about these pains no more. We won't have to worry about crying no more. Amen. How many know he's going to wipe away every tear? And we'll be home at last. All this stuff will be over with. That's why I'm pressing in. Why? Because I got a blessed hope that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasure is all laid up somewhere beyond the blue. My mind is made up that I'm going to keep on moving. Why? Because I know this is not the destination. Amen. I got a place in heaven that I got a place of rest with him from all this old troubled world. But what Jesus said, he said, now, John, in the world, you're going to have some trouble, but be of good cheer. See, Jesus knew what we was going to go through. He knew what we were going to face. But I'm telling you this, that when we begin to line up with our identity, it makes the journey so much better. Jesus said this, Matthew 11, verse 28. He said, come unto me, all you who are what? Laden and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you will find rest for your soul. You want the key to walking in your identity, yoke up with Jesus. Amen. Yoke up with Jesus. Yes. See, and what they would do with a yoke, how many know it was a wooden instrument that they would put, most of the time it was more like oxen back under the old covenant, and what they would do is take the old ox and put him with a young ox. And they would put that harness on their shoulders, amen, and begin to put them together. How many know the Bible said, and the government was upon his shoulders? So His government is on his shoulder. So when I come under what? His government, amen, I'm walking with him. And guess what? He's the one that's done gained the victory, and he's going to show me how to gain the victory. Why? Because I'm not fighting from a place of defeat, but I'm fighting from a place of what? Victory in him. But he's the one that's going to show me. Why? Because I'm yoked up with him. Therefore, I'm just going to follow him and learn from him. Jesus, how did you do that? Follow me and I'll show you how to do it. See, but if we follow carnality, we go into condemnation. So we're yoked up with him. We're learning from him. See, and when we learn from him, how many know he's not teaching us a religion, but he's teaching us how to have relationship, how to have fellowship, how to overcome. I was listening at the Sunday school this morning, you know, and I was just gleaning from that, you know, and really what Pastor Terry Wilson was really saying is your identity in Christ, you can just laugh at some stuff because you know why? It's going to pass. Do you realize that your trials are just temporarily? They can't outlast God, you know why? Because they're not eternal. Oh, they got to come to an end. They got to come to an end. Why? Because they only temporarily. It's only for a season. But see, in that season, we get to learn who God really is on the inside of us. He's proven to himself who he is in us when he takes us through. Because it's like Paul. He said, look, I have learned how to be content. I've learned the secret. Whatever I go through, I can be content. See, but we say this, oh, I can do all things through Christ. But then when we start going through all things, we forget about Christ. Paul said, I have learned to abound. I have learned how to abound. See, and I was looking at that the other day, and this is what I got out of that. Paul said, I know how to be hungry and I know how to be filled. I know how to have prosperity and I know how to be poor. Now watch this. Many a times when we get rich or we get a little bit more than what we used to, we forget about God. But Paul said, I've learned the secret. When I got a lot, I still need him. When I got little, I still need him. See, this is what Paul is saying. I don't let things govern me. He's the one that's governing me. Just because I get a new truck, I don't mean I forget about God. Amen? Just because I get healed, I don't forget about God. Many times we want what he has, but we don't want him. But he wants us to want him. Oh, glory to God. He wants us to want him. See, when we get him, we get all the other stuff. Amen? But how many know we don't want the stuff without him? I want him first and stuff will come. Oh, glory to God. He says, seek the kingdom and his righteousness and all these other things will be added. That was a song. I don't want the healing. I want the healer. Yes. I just don't want the provision. I want the provider. Yes. See, we got him, you know, and he's in us. But we don't need to forget him when we begin to go through. We need to remember, hey, my identity is in him. I don't care how low you're feeling. When you start speaking to yourself who you are, watch what happens. There's something that begins to happen when I start confessing who God says I am. Because words will activate. By faith, it will cause what? Life to start taking place. Amen? So when you look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, that ain't the real John. The real John is on the inside. Amen? That's why we can't look down our nose at people. Why? Because you never know what God has did in their life. You never know what God has did for them. Well, they just don't look right. That's all right. You're looking at the outer appearance. Won't you have a conversation? have a conversation, and then you might say, my God, where'd you get all this wisdom from? That's what Jesus did. They blew them Pharisees' mind. What is this man getting this wisdom from? How is he doing what he do? We got to figure this joke out. You know, what's going on with him? How in the world is he doing this stuff? I mean, no, they said, we ain't never seen a man like this man before. And that's where the world will begin to see us, when we begin to align and walk in our identity. They'll begin to want, we won't even have to go and try to get them saved. They'll be saying, what in the world is that you got going on in you over there? Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you today, Lord. And God, we just scratched the surface of who we are in you, Lord. There's so much greater things that you have for us, Lord. And God, we just pray, Lord, that you would give us a revelation of who we are in you, Lord. And God, we thank you for the day, the word, Father. We thank you, Lord. We pray that it will strengthen your people, Lord. God, that will bring us in alignment with our true identity, Lord. So, Father, we thank you for it. And we just want to pause here and see if there's anyone here that's not saved, that you do not know Jesus Christ. Anybody. Anybody. Because your identity starts in the born-again experience. Amen? Born from above. That's where it starts. Amen? Okay. So we're all born again, right? Say, I am a new creature, in Christ. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things are made new. I choose to walk in the new things. So, Father, reveal to me the new things that you have for me and that you have paid for me to have. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.